That's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm good.
So the word is that you had a problem in Atlanta.
Well, some would call it a problem. I say you heard my van pulling in.
Yes.
And you got out of your truck and said, van sounded strong this morning.
Man, the van, when I saw you earlier today, I saw you and I was like, dude, the van is sounding strong.
Yeah, and so as we went to Atlanta last week to the market, which every dude should experience at some point.
And so you're doing that for your old shop that you have in the house.
For Welcome Home, my wife has a little retail business and it's doing great. And so we have to go to the market in Atlanta to pick up some stuff and home decor items. And so the 12 passenger not only takes around my big family, you can also take the seats out and you have tons of room to store stuff.
Wow.
And so we drive to Atlanta. Everything's good. It's just being its regular self. And then we stay at a hotel, get up the next morning, get in the van, and I started. And then we looked around because we thought somebody around us might have started their truck, really loud truck as well, because of course it couldn't have been my van.
No, of course not.
So then to make sure, I kind of gave it a little gas to rev the engine. And that's when I realized, no, it's our van.
We're the obnoxious loud
And then
ones.
I became super giddy because I'm from Cornersville, Tennessee. Google it.
This is your high school relive.
And my truck when I was a senior in high school was one of the loudest trucks in the county. And that was a proud fact. And so I was giddy for a long time.
Right.
Until we started the drive back from Atlanta. And we could hear nothing except the rumble of a very,
so,
very
so
loud
So someone
engine.
Had stolen what?
Yeah, apparently somebody in Atlanta needed a catalytic converter. And so they crawled under my van in the middle of the night and just cut it out. And
they
took
decided
it.
To take yours.
Yeah, and so the way I'm looking at it, and you're a pastor, I don't want to take any scripture out of context, but we know the scripture tells us what the enemy means for evil. The Lord means for our good. And so this is good.
So the loud roar of your van down the road, you have interpreted as the Lord's kindness and goodness to you.
And I tried to get it fixed.
I
made the motion to get it fixed and took the proper steps, took it to a shop and was texted yesterday from the shop owner that said, look, we can't find a pipe big enough. We're not going to be able to fix it right now. And I thought, well, that's another sign that this needs to continue. Gavin believes the next step, obviously, is big mud tires.
Nice.
And then that'll really complete the package.
So before we get into other issues, I do also want to mention that so on Sunday, if you all who are listening don't know, I'm the pastor of Shoreline, but Andrew and his family are also a part of our church. And so this last Sunday, we did a number of things. We celebrated veterans. In fact, we're going to talk a bit about kind of war and things of that sort today. So we celebrated our veterans. We also acknowledged and actually rolled something out related to Orphan Sunday.
Right,
and
absolutely.
I'll mention that at the end of the show. But then also, we did a child and family dedication, not to be confused with infant baptism or anything of that sort, but really coming alongside families. And so we had a number of families that were down there, and you came down and I noticed, I wanted to comment from the stage. You were coming down to pray and I wanted to comment from the stage. You had the most glorious Christmas sweater on. It was very Christmassy, and yet we were still pretty early into the Christmas season, if we can even say we're in it.
Yeah.
But you had gone full blast.
It's a brand new sweater.
Wow.
I think it's important to note. And I don't know if you are like me, but you get a new anything.
Right.
And you want to wear it immediately. I'm still in that. Like, I feel like that's what children do.
Well, today you were wearing a red kind of black, red and black kind of flannelish shirt.
Yeah, that's my go-to. As soon as it gets cold, that's my go-to.
It feels like between this and the regular beard that is always there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you full-blown are in Christmas mode.
I am.
Wow.
As soon as Halloween's over.
Have Christmas decorations gone up?
Not yet. Soon and very soon.
Man.
But yeah, that's a Yeah, I'm a proud, unapologetic lover of sweaters. I have one on today.
I thought
there
was a lot of things that I could have said on Sunday that could have been impactful. And my acknowledging your Christmas sweater possibly could have been one of those, but I chose to. Show some respect.
I don't know if right before we prayed over those families would have been a good time to acknowledge.
Right.
Acknowledge right. My sweater. I would appreciate
it. Dad's in the room. One day you can aspire to celebrate Christmas way too early.
That's right. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't have Christmas socks on. I almost put them on today. But what we want to do is we want to talk about a subject that is very important, and it is
much more serious than the ones we've been discussing.
And so we did there's a good chance you celebrated veterans over the weekend. There was parades, and then yesterday a lot of offices closed because of Veterans Day. And so I think it's important that we have a conversation on war, on patriotism, on nationalism, all of these things, because we see it in the media, and we've had a show. You can look back at past shows where we talked about patriotism specifically. But today, I think we will focus more on just war, on is it okay for Christians to be in the military? You know, those right. type questions, and really not to pick one side or the other, but to say, look, as Christians, our Christianity, our faith. Does not get put on the shelf. It does not get put on the shelf when you right. join the military. It does not get put on the shelf when you work in a secular job. It doesn't get put on the shelf in the voting booth. And right. so what does that look like for Christians to look at the conversation of war when North Korea is doing some things and we're getting all amped up and what are we going to do when Iran or if we look back to World War II and we look at what had to be done to save millions of lives, but while hundreds of thousands of lives were lost, let's walk through that right. over the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or so.
And I think the term you used, to even start this is correct. And it's the conversation, for us, we don't necessarily sit here with absolute finite opinions. Now, mm-hmm. I think we have some pretty sure. strong opinions on a number of these things. And hopefully those opinions are based out of biblical truth, but there are some areas that feel a little gray, a little murky. And so, we're going to wrestle through this and process through this. In fact, last night I texted you, as you know, and I said, we have all these months of preparation sure. that we have for each and every show, which was very similar
time.
To yeah. when we texted last night and said, yeah. what do you want to talk about
exactly.
tomorrow?
Exactly.
We do kind of have a framework of these things. So we were talking a bit about that, and my statement was, so between now and the time we record, do I need to form some opinions on this matter?
Yeah.
And of course, again, obviously we do have opinions, but it is a conversation. There is something that we need to discuss about it. I think the thing that I would start with, Andrew, is one of the unique traps that's related to this discussion is that you can potentially be, I wouldn't say anti-war, mm-hmm. but you can have some questions about war, and that doesn't mean that you're anti-veteran.
Right.
we are celebrating veterans this week. In fact, I was super proud. I had proud son moment on Sunday morning. We have three services, 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock. ShorelineKnox.com.
You can
check that out. No, but we have these three services and so we recognize veterans in each and every service, and 9:45 is our biggest hour. 11 o'clock is probably second. 8:30, people are still
right.
getting rolling, but it's not quite as big of a crowd. And I said, if you're a veteran, stand up. And, the veteran who stood up in the 8:30 service was Jimmy Chester Hayes, my father. I was the one veteran that stood up in the room, and I was really, really proud. That was a really cool deal. So I personally have some questions when I see
sure.
relates to war or, related to war. And I think often about, is this just, is this right? Should we be involved in mm-hmm. this? But that in no way minimizes my appreciation for men like my father or women who have served in our country military. I mean, it in no fashion. We don't have to choose between one or the other in that discussion.
Yeah, and as Christians, we have to look at it through a biblical worldview,
right?
And through that lens, and so we should never flippantly talk about war. We look back at the Civil War, 800,000 Americans killed.
Right.
On both sides, North and South, you had a lot of people die. Every war, you have thousands and thousands of people die. You look at World War One, Two, Vietnam, all of these things. And every time you hear someone mention a war, at least with me, depending on what war it is, I have a different type of right. feeling. So you talk about World War II, I immediately go, one of the greatest generations of Americans that we've ever had stood up and fought and saved millions of lives. But then maybe you hear Vietnam and you have another sense of come up or Korea or whatever it looks like. And so that, again, it doesn't mean that you're questioning soldiers right. Or veterans, but it means that we do need to have a conversation. And I pray, and I know from my conversations with veterans, they're having the same ones. Christian right. You know, Christian soldiers. That sounds as an old song.
Onward, Christian.
But as we look, if you are serving in the military and you are a Christian, I'm sure there's some wrestling that yeah. goes on with this decision or that decision. And we'll get into some of those here in a little bit. But that doesn't mean that when you're out at the restaurant and you see someone with a veteran, maybe they have a hat on, or you can tell they're a veteran. It doesn't mean you go, well, I'm anti-war, I'm not going to pick up their tab. No,
right.
you should be looking at ways to celebrate our veterans because of what the sacrifice that they made and the things that they've done to allow not just for our freedom, but freedom of people around the world.
Yeah, so two things. One is that song's still running through my brain. And I'm reminded that when I was in high school, we would sing a song called There's a Bomb in Gilead. It was a hymn. But it's not B-O-M-B, it's bomb, you
yeah,
know,
like, and essential.
And I was like, yeah, and immediately I was like, interesting. I wonder about this bomb that was happening.
No, they
Gilead.
Had bombs.
Yes, exactly.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah.
Man, when I said high school, I meant when I was seven. Oh, gee. I just told on myself there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is, an issue that always goes back to life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things
sure.
we talk so much about, especially in light of your work. I mean, this is a life issue. We think of war at times, and we think about governments, and we think about airplanes and tanks and things like that. But no, you're talking about real people who are putting their safety mm-hmm. At risk, people who are losing their lives. And so we have to think about this as an issue that relates to life. And ultimately, when we come back from the break here in just a few moments, what we'll do is we'll begin to think about, you know, okay, if we celebrate life, then what is the appropriate criteria to go to war?
Yeah, and that's a conversation. Again, that's all we're trying to do today is not just have a conversation between each other, but spark conversations as Christians when we see things in the news about, hey, a possibility of war, not to flippantly say, yeah, go get them or whatever we may say when it comes to that, but really think through that and see how that's going to impact people, real lives, and also the kingdom as we move forward. We'll be back. So as we continue to have a conversation, before we get back into it, Jason, if you could pass this along to Chuck. I mean, of course he's listening, but anytime we have a mandolin on stage.
You like that?
I love that.
Yes. Yeah. And we did on Sunday.
There was a mandolin on stage Sunday in his boots. I'm the one that texts Chuck. I was at the 8:30 service, and as soon as Chuck walked off stage, I quickly, before we opened up the word, quickly sent Chuck a text and was like, hey, where did the mandolin player get his boots?
Because they would look fantastic with my sweater.
I need to know that. And I may or may not be in the process of buying some just like them very soon. So,
yes. Yeah, so it should also be noted as we relate to Chuck. So, we have this thing called Lessons and Carols
yes.
that we're doing in partnership with two other churches in our city. It's going to be at the Bijou Theater on December 9th, and we are nearly sold out, and that is crazy because we've basically barely promoted it.
That makes me nervous. I'm doing some scripture reading that night.
Yes, so, I heard that.
Yeah.
In fact, I gave them your name, I believe.
That didn't surprise me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Not because I necessarily thought you'd do a great job, but just because I felt like I had enough leverage to make you
That's
do it.
That's true. That's true.
So there we go.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm playing Tiny Tim is what I've been told. You're playing Scrooge.
Yeah,
it's not that?
It is not,
not
that.
This
is something very different. Yes.
I played Tiny Tim when I was in third grade. I don't want to brag, but that's pretty good.
Big news at the Hayes home. Henley Hayes was just my, my 9-year-old was just named TikTok, the crocodile in Peter Pan Jr. That's
good. If I had to pick one of the characters to play.
Feels good.
It would be good.
Feels
That's
good.
A proud moment.
Yep.
That's so good. Let's you talk should, about you war. You should post that on MySpace.
Yeah.
Let everybody know that happened. So yeah, so as we get back to the topic that we want to talk about today, there's some amazing resources at the ERLC. You can find them online, Ethics Religious Liberty Commission. And the reason why we talk about them a lot is because they look at the ethical the ethics around everything, whether it be war or life or legislation or whatever that is. And so it's just great resources. And Joe Carter wrote something for them. And I've never met Joe, but he seems to be very, very smart.
Joe.
Everything he writes is, a lot of times above my head. But he walked us through kind of the just war theory. And some of you may be listening to this and going, I don't even know
we're not talking about only war.
We're meaning like it's a just
noble,
like it's okay
correct.
In this case to go to war, and it goes back to Augustine,
yep.
depending on how you want to say that. But we walk through those moments of understanding the government has a role, the leaders and authorities have a role, but as Christians, we also have a role to speak truth into certain situations. And so if we see something happening, do we believe that to be a just and okay thing to move forward with? Or do we come out and say, look, in this case, this is not a just war. This is based on revenge. It isn't based on saving lives and those type things.
Yeah. And so there's certain criteria. And
right.
this is true to this article that he and I are both looking at, but also all kinds of other resources that are out there. And there's various criteria. And I think the place you start with is it a just cause? And so what are just cause? What are justifiable reasons mm-hmm. to go to war? So whether it's something like self-defense or protecting the innocent, I mean, that could look like, you know, Nazi Germany.
Sure.
That could look like preventing genocide. It could be restoring human rights that have been wrongly denied. It can be assisting an ally in self-defense. I mean, these are reasons that I think we could establish are just in nature, and they are not motivated on poor intentions. You know, mm-hmm. you think about what are good intentions, what are poor intentions, what are our motives for engaging in war? Are they noble? Are they in line with really like the Christian ethic? You know,
right.
and what is the Christian ethic? Ultimately, it is love, and so. You're going to war to either restore peace or to find peace, not to do the things that often our flesh are tempted,
right.
which is revenge or to show them who's the man. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of feels that way. You know, you
yeah.
see something, even when it relates to 9/11. I mean,
yep.
the idea was, do we respond just to show them who's boss? Or is there a response that's appropriate because of other reasons?
Yeah, other dangers. Yeah.
And that gets complicated. Boy, that is complicated
yeah.
because as we all know, man, those things are deeply ingrained into our heart.
Sure.
And we feel like that need for revenge, or we feel like that need to say, it's where our kind of patriotism mm-hmm. comes out and says, hey, we're going to show that we're the best country on the planet and,
yep.
and no one pushes us around. Again, we just have to begin to filter what in that is right and what part of that is connected to right cause.
Well, and we also have to look at another one is proportionate cause. And so the good of going to war must outweigh the destruction and death that will be caused by warfare. And so if we look at when we involved ourselves in fighting Hitler and the Nazis, not just millions of Jewish people, but there was a chance where Jewish people would have been wiped off the face of the planet
correct.
And ended completely. And so a lot of lives were lost because of that war, but man, millions and millions were saved. And so you look in some of those cases and go, yeah, there will be lives lost here, but there will be a lot less lives lost doing it this way than if we did not answer, if we did not respond to what Hitler is doing. And so that's tough, and that makes it very difficult. That's why it's important that we don't just throw around the line of I'm praying for our leaders. These are very difficult decisions, not just our president, but our military leaders that are making
right.
these decisions as well, and having to look into the eyes of soldiers and say, I need you to go do this.
Right.
And so
it's easy for us to form opinions when it's not our children that they could go to war. You know, it's easy for us to form opinions when it's not our brother or sister or father or mother that they could be going to war.
And I'm confident somebody's listening to this now who may even have a son or daughter in it right now.
Absolutely.
And they wrestle with it.
Right.
And so this is, it's not, again, we can be flipping about a lot of things. I can be flipping about somebody stealing my converter off my van, and
right.
we can be flipping about these things. One thing we can't be flipping on is war and right. loss of life. And so we need to be praying for our leaders. We need praying for these families that see their sons and daughters and husbands and wives, off and, you know, for 6 months, there was a guy just the other day that had been on, he was going on a tour for a year. He was a mayor of a small town in Oregon. And in Afghanistan, where we thought a lot of this is over, and he lost his life.
Right.
And so it's still happening, and we need to be concerned with.
And again, the reason that we have these discussions, and the reason that it's so critical that, as you said, not only do we pray for those that have gone to war, but we pray for those that are making decisions related to war, is because the repercussions are grand. I mean, they are deep and they're wide. Obviously, you've referenced a few situations where people simply just didn't come back from war.
Right.
But let's think about the millions upon millions of men and women that are in our country that battle PTSD, yep. that have debilitating disabilities related to their tenure in the war. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is all of this stuff that is out there. I mean, we see it related to homelessness and yep. to drug use and opioid epidemic. I mean, this is a deep reaching conversation. And so again, that is why we pray for leaders, and we really do try to point people towards not just going to war to get somebody back and not just going to war just to flex our muscle as a nation, but to really do it only when it's necessary and only when it is right, so that we protect not only the lives of those that may be on the other end of the world, that they're potentially innocently involved, pulled into something, but then also the people that are going to come back and live right next door to us.
Yeah. And it's an issue that, that again, we have to be aware of. And I wear a ring on my index finger that it says 22 kill. And it's because 22 veterans take their lives every single day. That's the statistic. That should concern us greatly. Why is that happening? And so I wear this ring to remind me to pray for the veterans that are dealing with the struggles of war and the lasting effects of that. And so when we have this conversation, it is we care deeply about this country. We care deeply about our leaders and about those that that choose, because it's a choice now. This isn't a draft. This is a choice to go serve your country. And we'll talk more when we come back.
Yep.
So today we're having a conversation on about our veterans, about war, and what that looks like between Sundays, what that looks like for the Christian to walk through that, to have a conversation with family members, with your church, with maybe you have folks in your circle, your husband, your wife, your children, close friends that are serving in the military. And so what does that look like when we have these conversations? I remember back when 9/11 occurred, I was 17. And when W, who will always have a unhealthy elevation in my heart,
one can interpret that when you called him W as if you guys were texting earlier.
Yeah, we're really close. but when he stood on the rubble and said, he told the first responders, "I can't hear you, but soon the people that knock these buildings down will hear you."
Epic.
I mean, it brought a feeling over me. I was working in country radio at the time, and I almost put the Toby Keith song on loop. Like it was just I don't care. I know that we have a program to do, but I'm just going to play this song over and over and over. And so there's a sense of you attack us, we got to get you back.
Right.
But it's so much more involved than. And even at that time, I think President Bush was saying, look, he wasn't saying this is just about revenge. This is, there's so much more that he knew and that his team knew that we didn't know. But we have to be careful not to be the type of, let's just nuke them. Let's just turn that place into a parking lot and forget about it because, well, that could have lasting ramifications.
Well, and I appreciate what you said. I mean, even Bush standing on this pile of rubble, he knew so much. I mean, he knew more than this has just happened in the moment. He's got this, you know, kind of background of understanding what's happened in the Middle East and all of these things. And I think what it does is it points towards our need for, even as it's referenced here on this list that we're looking at, that the idea that you need right authority to go to war. You know, it's not just, hey, I just feel on a whim, I'm going to do something, and we're mad in the moment. And I mean, we don't need to function like that in our day-to-day life, you know. That's why we have churches, and that's why we have accountability partners, and that's why we make a covenant to our spouse and a covenant to the Lord. I mean, these are things that there's a certain chain of command, for lack of a better description, or at least some kind of buffers that are there that keep us from just going and doing hopefully going to keep us from doing really irrational things. And I would again say, I think that is where you can begin to see war being differentiated that is just versus that which is not. We're not looking to raise militias here. Right. You know, we're looking to our government, who has been elected into position, who is informed on a number of things, and is saying, all right, let us now walk with wisdom into this situation.
Yeah, and if we think about how difficult that is, you just look back at the wars of the past and where we've come from. I mean, it used to be we would stand against the Redcoats and we would just stare at each other and load our rifles and shoot at each other, and hopefully somebody's going to get shot, somebody's going to get, you know, not going to get shot, but we're not going to hide.
Right.
We're going to, you can clearly see that we're wearing uniforms, and we're just going to shoot at each other until this is over.
Not so much
today. And it was face-to-face combat type things. And now we have drones, we have all kinds of ways where it distances us from the actual violence.
And the humanity of it.
Yeah, and so where if you look back, when we were fighting the revolution, it was like you were looking at each other eye to eye and fighting each other, and that makes it a little bit heavier. In today's world, you have ways of pushing a button, and you didn't even interact with the person. You just saw them on a camera, satellite footage, and then you pushed a button, and it's over with. And so that's why it's so important. Yes, that's probably saved a lot of American lives and saved a lot of lives around the world. But again, we can't flippantly just be act like they're not image bearers that we're dealing with in every scenario.
What do you think? Do we go to war if we don't have a reasonable chance of succeeding in the war? What is the rationale there?
I would say we have to there needs to be a sense of we're going to win this and save a lot of lives
win is not
right.
Hey, look at us, we're better.
Right.
But we have accomplished the purpose of peace. We have protected the ally. We have conquered the one that that was demeaning or you know, pushing back against human rights or anything of that sort. I mean, that's victory.
I mean, we look back at you could have conversations about a lot of things of nation building and is that okay? Is that not okay? But you look back at some of the footage after some of what happened after 9/11, and you saw men and women for the first time being able to vote for their elected officials without fear that they were going to be killed if they didn't vote for Saddam Hussein. You look in some of these cases and you go, okay, that was an impact. That was a huge impact. A lot of lives lost, but a huge impact. And then I think at times we have to legitimately look and say, have we been there too long? What's the long game here?
Right. There are variables that are going to exist.
Sure.
Pain, suffering, violence. These things come with war. They will exist. So I think there has to be some weighing, if you will, of saying, all right, is the benefit going to exceed the loss or yeah. the hardship that is going to be associated with war. And yeah. and I think for, you know, again, we won't get into to too many commentaries here or to too much commentary, but I think in most cases, I think historically we've actually done fairly well.
And what we find is that history, a lot of times, in reporting in the immediate aftermath may not be good.
Right.
But a lot of times when we go back and we allow objective historians to look, most of the time it was just. There are times, certainly, and I think that's what sets America apart, is we're willing to look in the mirror and go, we messed up there. Slavery was bad. We needed to correct that.
Right.
Segregation was bad. We needed to correct that. Women not being able to vote was bad. We needed to correct that. We are a country that has been willing to look in the mirror and say, these are corrections that need to be made. And we've done that because we are a republic that allows for the people to speak, where in other parts of the world, the people don't have that freedom to speak up and speak out. And so when we look at this, you know, I was telling you off air that I was sitting in church one day, and on the screen, David Platt, who was over the IMB at one time, he was in the Middle East, and he was talking about missions. And he looked in the camera, and let's just face it, in the Southern Baptist world at times, our patriotism kind of elevates to an unhealthy place.
Correct.
And so for him to say this, knowing that it was going to be shown in a number of SBC churches, it took guts. But he said, if you're looking at the Middle East and you're saying, just drop a nuke on them and turn them into a parking lot, he said, how many people are we immediately sending to hell when we do that? And that's not questioning your patriotism.
Right.
That's saying, if you believe the Bible to be true, and if you believe the gospel saves, and that if there are unsaved people, that they spend eternity in hell, and then you say, drop a bomb on a majority Muslim country, and end all of their lives, women, children, everybody in between, then as a Christian, we have to go, maybe not.
Right.
Maybe at the very least, because we may not be the president, but at the very least, we need to say, let's slow down on this.
Right.
And think about the gospel advancing in some of these areas.
And I think that's where you're at. I mean, it again, when I hear that, it immediately, it has a similar effect mm-hmm. on me. But then you also, I'm thinking about the perspective of many of our listeners here today and thinking, how are they receiving that? And I think some would align with kind of where we're at, but I think some would also say, so we're not supposed to do anything?
Right.
Right. So we're just not supposed to respond. We're supposed to sit on our hands. No, that's not what we're saying here either. And I don't believe that's what Tim Platt's saying.
No.
I think what it does push us again towards is, prayer. It pushes us towards, a pushing back on just really flippant opinion, making and uninformed opinion making. I mean, we just have to be mindful. This is a complex thing. That is why we elect our leaders. That is why we pray for our leaders. And that is why we need to really be people of prayer, even as we form our own opinions.
Yeah. And I think as we're about to wrap up this segment, yeah, I think if you are a veteran listening to this, I think it's important that we say we are grateful for the sacrifice. I mean, any opportunity I get to talk with a veteran, to spend time with a veteran, to have those conversations and hear those stories. And it doesn't matter. I was watching a video yesterday of a World War II veteran, talking about, a friend of his that died during the war. I mean, that was years ago. And this is a grown man, somebody's grandpa, and he's sobbing because it still affects him to this day.
Correct.
And so it's not as if the greatest generation didn't have PTSD. They're still struggling with it. We tend to act like they didn't. And so these are things that we have to be careful about talking about, but it's not doing them justice when we talk about it flippantly.
Right.
It's not doing them any favors. It's not helping our cause, and it's certainly not helping the kingdom when we flippantly talk about war. And we live in a broken Genesis 3 world.
Right.
And so war is going to be a part of it. It has been, and it will continue to be until the good Lord comes back. And so what we have to do is just have honest, rational, logical thought when we're talking about these very complex issues. We'll be back. So I pray that our conversation today has been a fruitful one as we talked about veterans and war and not the lightest of subjects, but one that is important that Christians need to be talking about. And our goal with this show anyway is for us to walk through relevant issues that our culture is facing and how the Christian is to step into those and look at those issues. And so hopefully that was helpful. Yeah. It's hard in 40 minutes to really go through all of that, but hopefully it was helpful.
And I would just say before we kind of move on to the last few things here is that we do want to say personally thank you to our veterans.
Absolutely.
Because we know that many of you are listening. And when we say many, we know we don't really know it's that many, but we hope. No. We do know that many of you are listening. And so we're really, really grateful for your service and know that that has not gone unappreciated or unnoticed by people like us.
Yeah. And so as we shift from that, pretty big announcement occurred at Shoreline this past Sunday, and we've talked a little bit about it over the last few weeks, but a partnership has occurred between Shoreline and some other places, some other churches in town, and some lives, some children, some families are going to be loved on and served this Christmas season, and we're excited about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So we have rolled out two things, and we've alluded to one of them in the past, and I want to go ahead and point you towards the other. So one is that there is something called Give Knoxville. You can go to giveknoxville.com, and we have partnered, Shoreline Church has partnered with two other churches. One is Hope Fellowship, which is a church that we planted in East Knoxville a few years ago, and then City Church. I help lead a network of planters here in East Tennessee, and City Church has become really close friends of ours there in South Knoxville. And we have come together to attempt, and I believe we're going to succeed in this. We are going to provide Christmas gifts for every child in the DCS system in Knox County. And so, and I don't mean a gift. We're talking about multiple gifts, five gifts for every child in the DCS foster care system. And so you can, again, go to giveknoxville.com. We're encouraging people to not only make personal donations there in the form of you actually go and just buy a gift, and you can select that online. You don't have to turn anything in. It's not a drive or anything of that sort. You do it, and then what happens is they're delivered to these various churches. We then host wrap parties, and those wrap
parties. That's where me and you are rapping.
Where we rap. That is
like,
correct.
Yeah, yes. R-A-P.
That is correct. Yes. I think it's actually, in this case, this is going to be a W-R-A-P party.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
But, and then what happens is we deliver the gifts to these families. And so it's a really cool deal. In fact, we're also encouraging people, you know, saying, hey, listen, I don't need another sweater this year. As great as your sweater was.
I mean, let's be careful, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need another something else that you know, someone's going to give me that I really don't have a big need for. So rather than, you know, receiving that, you're just pointing people towards, hey, would you be willing to take that money and go to giveknoxville.com. The second other thing is that we're doing something called Lessons and Carols, and we're actually doing it in partnership with these same other two churches, or these same two churches. And it's going to be a really cool night, as I referenced. It's on December 9th at the Bijou. You need to jump on there, knoxlessonsandcarols.com, and grab your tickets. They're free, but a ticket is required, and I think there's only like 75 tickets left, so be sure to do that.
Yeah, well, and go ahead.
The final thing that is worth noting this morning, or I should say this afternoon, we have new lighting in the studio.
We do.
And you don't look any better, really, with the new lighting.
Here's the thing. Fluorescent lights don't make anybody look good.
No,
so
no.
You come into my office at Hope.
It's very dark.
And I have three lamps and I have all the lights off, and I'll have my board chair will come in and he'll go, do you want to turn the lights on? I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to turn the lights on. I just want to sit here in the dark.
Well, our hope is that we have been bringing some important issues to light in a much better way these lights.
Thank you. That's a good transition.
And we do that each and every week here on Wednesdays at 5. Joy 620, and you can also find us on podcasts found everywhere.
Everywhere.
We will see you again next Wednesday.
It'll be fun. Talk to you soon.